and fairly by the Muslim employers. They come to the ulama and they are very disheartened. They cry that this is what my Muslim brother is doing to me. Takes the maximum from me. Takes the maximum from me, but pay me very little for the services that I render to him. And many a times we find that the Muslim employees say that when we were working for a non-Muslim employer, we were treated better than a Muslim employer. Allahu Akbar. Now imagine if the Muslim employee is being treated so badly, so unfairly by the Muslim employer, then what happens to that non-Muslim employee that is working for that Muslim employer? And most of the time we find how sad that the same Muslim employer will treat the non-Muslim employee better than his own Muslim brother or sister. I don't know why. Those people can introspect and they can answer for themselves. We are not here to give answers to what they have in their mind or what they are thinking about. It is not simply a mechanical process where one person does work and the other pays for work done. The relationship between employer and employee has to go beyond the exchange of work for money. It is a relationship based on justice, compassion, and dignity. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam established the bond of brotherhood between employer and employee by stating that your employees are your brothers whom Allah placed in your care. If a Muslim has another person under his care, he should feed him with the like of what he eats and clothe them with the like of what he wears. And you should not overburden them with what they cannot bear. And if you do so, help them in their jobs. This hadith is in Bukhari and Muslim Sharif. So authentic. There's no chance of it being not authentic. So let us just ponder over this hadith of Sayyiduna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I wear branded clothes. I'm going for vacation upon vacation during the course of the year. I go for umrah so many times in the year. I go for hajj, etc., etc. But my Muslim employee, my non-Muslim employee, he never went for a holiday in his life. He never went for a holiday in his life. The only holidays he must have went for, maybe by the in-laws, or for some wedding that took place in Durban or in Cape Town, and that's about it, a few days. So this hadith tells us that what I am wearing, I should make sure that my employee, obviously maybe not exactly the same, but let us be good to them. Let us be kind to them. Let us show compassion to them. And if we do that, they will look at us and they will think only good. And many a times we find in our beautiful South Africa that all this looting that is taking place, Allah protect us. All the hijackings that is taking place. All the robbing that is taking place, etc. Why is it all happening? And most of the time, this happens when our employees know exactly who we are. They know that this man has so many cars, he goes for so many holidays, and they see all these things, so they say the only way to get back at this guy is that I rob him, I kill him, and whatever else. Allah protect one and all. Because somewhere along the line, we can be falling prey to this. Whether we have a business, whether we are a CEO of a company, or a boss of a company, or a simple man that is working for someone, but somewhere he has to pay the gardener, he has to pay the electrician, the plumber, and so on. So we take the work that is rendered, but we pay so little. And those people go back very saddened. They might not say anything as well to us, but they come to us very nasty. And then when we find out what happened, then what we hear? Inside job. He knows exactly what is happening. He knows exactly what is happening. So my brothers in Islam, our workers, our brothers and sisters, they are our helpers. We need them. We depend on them for the many things that we cannot do for ourselves. There's so many things person cannot do, so you got so and so and so to do the work for you. And like we had mentioned in that hadith, the ending, that if we give the employee that amount of work to do and we find that he cannot do that work, me as the boss, help him. Really, that man will appreciate you. He'll say, this man comes from another planet because he's bringing himself down to assist me in whatever work I have to execute. A relationship of brotherhood and not the master-servant relationship will create a healthy working environment based on respect, honesty, and justice. Employees treated with respect and dignity will generally work harder and with great diligence and honesty. Listen to this again. Employees treated with respect and dignity will generally work harder and with greater diligence and honesty. And the opposite is also so true. A dissatisfied employee will do the minimum and with very little commitment, if not no commitment. That is what's going to happen. And many times we hear this over and over again. I will only do what I was supposed to do. Nothing more, nothing less. Then you know that that employee is going through so much of difficulty because of what the employer is doing to him. Let us ponder for a moment. Put ourselves as employers in the shoes of the employee. We reverse the whole thing around. I was the boss. I'm the CEO. I'm the big shot. Now I'm just an ordinary worker. How would I feel if the same has been done to me? You can answer for yourself. A crucial aspect of this relationship is the payment of salary that is fair and just. This is another sad part of it all. We pay so little, but we want so much. How does that work? Only Allah knows that person that is working so hard, is giving his best, but for so little. Like we know what people say, I'm getting paid peanuts. But he's working, why? He's got no choice. He signed the employment contract, the job description, he signed it. Why? Because he had no choice. There was no job for him. So that is why he signed for that, so that he can earn some money and spend on himself and on his family. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has warned us in a hadith Qudsi, in which Allah Ta'ala said, I will be an opponent to three types of people on the day of resurrection. One who makes a covenant in my name but proves dishonest. One who sells a free person and consumes his price. And the one who employs a worker and takes full work from him but does not pay him for his labor. This hadith is mentioned in Bukhari Sharif. Now this week, and many times we've heard this. So one of my friends, he had mentioned that he worked for Muslim, he worked for non-Muslim. But there's a huge difference between the two. When he was working for a Muslim, and he told the Muslim, I need to perform Salah. He said, oh, you wait till after 5, man. You finish 5 o'clock, you still got enough time. Maghrib only sets in at 6 o'clock. You can go home comfortably, you can read your Salah. That's the mentality of a Muslim. But a non-Muslim employer, when his employee tells him that at this time I need to pray, I need to do this, etc., etc., my religious obligation, when he's still busy doing his work, the employer will come to him and tell him, what are you doing here? Isn't it your prayer time now? He said, no, no, I just want to finish my work. He said, no, leave it. Go to the call of prayer and you will return and do your work. There's no hurry. There's no need. That's the difference between Muslim and non-Muslim. And this brother goes on to tell me, he says, when these Christians, when the festive season begins long before November, it starts, all the Christmas trees and all the, they beautify their businesses, etc. So this non-Muslim employer tells the Muslim employee, what can we do for your Eid? Can we decorate here in our business? So the Muslim brother says, no, we don't do all these kind of celebrations. We celebrate the day, the Eid al-Fitr, Eid al-Adha, and that's about it. We don't put any decorations and do all this kind of stuff. Look at the concern of the non-Muslim. Look at the concern of the non-Muslim. But our Muslim, really, we need to get back to doing the right thing as employers. And we have seen this over and over and over again. That person that was wealthy, he had nothing. And that person that had nothing, he went to the top. A difficult situation for the one that was wealthy and he goes down. Allah protect those that are wealthy, that they must not go through that difficulty of coming right down. But that person who is at the bottom and he comes to the top, he's very happy. He's very happy because he remembers, I worked so hard. But remember, how you worked hard was not because of yourself. It was the assistance of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Allah has given you that energy to do the right things, to work hard. And then you came to that point in your life that now you can say, Alhamdulillah, that I'm okay. I'm managing with my life. And what I'm going to mention now is no mention in the Quran and Hadith. And it's not even wrong if a person does this. On the day of Eid, the two Eids, Eid al-Fitr, Eid al-Adha. Okay, before we get to that, Christmas, we all close. We're not celebrating as Muslims, but we close. Nowadays, the guys open on 26, but 25, closed. New Year's, everybody's closed. So the day of Eid al-Fitr, Eid al-Adha, we as Muslims have to celebrate. Allah has made us celebrate the day of Eid, both the Eids. So I'm the boss, I'm the owner, I'm the CEO. I got Muslim employees. What do? I tell them, okay, you can spend some time with your family. 10 o'clock, back at work. Otherwise, I'm going to dock your salary. So that poor guy, he's got no choice. He has to be back at 10 o'clock to clock in. And these days, it's not like the olden days where you come in and you rode there at whatever time you came and whatever time you left. You got thumbprint and you got face recognition. So sometimes on a light-hearted note, the guy say, hey, Maulana, brother, you come early to the to work. I'm cut off my thumb and you just put for me there so I can be there early because I'm always late. And you see the people when they have to clock in at their workplace, they run, they rush. And some of them, Allah forbid that they have to go through an accident or they have to go through some difficulty because if I don't make it on time and I got so many minutes and I don't make it, my salary is going to be docked. But on the same side, on the same length, on the same part, that person comes a little bit late or whatever time late, we're quick to dock his salary. But that person came early to work. He left late from work. Do you give him extra? No. Because you say, what do we say? He has to do his work. He gets paid for it. So getting back to our point that we had mentioned with regards to Eid al-Fitr and Eid al-Adha, nowhere is mentioned that you must close or you must open, nothing. But let us have some kind of compassion to our Muslim brothers and sisters. We sitting nicely at home with our families and enjoying the day of Eid al-Fitr and Eid al-Adha, but my Muslim brother and sister has to come back to work. Let us ponder, let us think about it, what we are doing. And we're paying fair wages to those who work for us? Are we paying fair wages to those who work for us? Are the hours of work reasonable? Is the workload acceptable? Do we pay salaries on time? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, you should pay the laborer his wages before his sweat dries. This is in Ibn Majah. The hadith is quite clear. Workers are to be paid on time as according to their contractual agreement. Ali radiallahu anhu is reported to have said, Allah has made it obligatory on the rich to meet the economic needs of the poor to the extent of their absolute necessities. If they are hungry or naked or involved in other financial difficulties, it will be merely because the rich are not doing their duty. What they always say, do your duty with beauty. You see your Muslim brother, your Muslim sister, not your family, we're not talking about family. We're looking at your Muslim brother and sister. He's in difficulty. I can help him. Help him. Forgo one holiday. Forgo one umrah. Send him for umrah. Send him for a holiday. And you'll see the difference in your business. A motivated and satisfied employee translates into better productivity and efficiency. Some of the ways of creating employee satisfaction is to share in their joys and sorrows, to show you care about their personal lives, to acknowledge and appreciate their efforts, to greet and smile. And I will conclude on this here. Again, ponder with regards to it tonight before we retire to bed. And then change, make the change, and we will definitely see the difference in our business. And this I picked up on social media. Employees stay when they are. 1. Paid well. 2. Mentored. 3. Challenged. 4. Promoted. 5. Involved. 6. Appreciated. 7. Valued. 8. On a mission. 9. Empowered. And the last one, number 10, trusted. So we make dua to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala that He grants us the ability to live the teachings of our master in all aspects of our life. Ameen wa ma alayna illa al-balagh.